of Naaman.
Or you could subtitle this, Seven Ducks in a Muddy Pond. And you're thinking of quack quack ducks, but you're going to find out that it's different kind of ducks. All right. Now Naaman, captain of the host of the king of Syria, was a great man with his master and honorable. And because by him the Lord had given deliverance unto Syria, he was also a mighty man in valor, but he was a leper. And the Syrians had gone out by companies and had brought away captive out of the land of Israel a little maid, and she waited on Naaman's wife. And she said unto her mistress, Would God my Lord were with the prophet that is in Samaria, for he would recover him of his leprosy. And one went in and told his Lord, saying, Thus and thus said the maid that is of the land of Israel. And the king of Syria said, Go, and I will send a letter unto the king of Israel. And he departed and took with him 10 talents of silver, 6,000 pieces of gold, and 10 changes of raiment. And he brought the letter to the king of Israel, saying, Now, when this letter is come unto thee, behold, I have therewith sent Naaman, my servant, to thee, that thou mayest recover him of his leprosy. And it came to pass, when the king of Israel had read the letter, that he rent his clothes and said, Am I God to kill and to make alive, that this man doth send unto me to recover a man of his leprosy? Wherefore consider, I pray you, and see how he seeketh a quarrel against me. In other words, the king said, he's trying to pick a fight with me. That's what he's tricking me. He's trying to pick a fight with me. And it was so when Elisha, the man of God, had heard that the king of Israel had rent his clothes, that he sent to the king, saying, Wherefore hast thou rent thy clothes? Let him come now to me, and he may know that there is a prophet in Israel. So Naaman came with his horses and with his chariot and stood at the door of the house of Elisha. And Elisha sent a messenger unto him, saying, Go and wash in Jordan 7 times, and thy flesh shall come again to thee, and thou wilt be clean. But Naaman was wroth and went away and said, Behold, I thought he would surely come out to me and stand and call on the name of the Lord his God and strike his hand over the place and recover the leper. Are not Arbana and Parphar, rivers of Damascus, better than all the waters of Israel? May I not wash in them and be clean? So he turned away and went away in a rage. And his servants came near and spake unto him and said, My father, if the prophet had bid thee do some great thing, wouldst thou not have done it? How much rather then, when he said to thee, Wash and be clean? Then went he down and dipped himself 7 times in Jordan, according to the saying of the man of God, and his flesh came again like the flesh of a little child, and he was clean. Wow, what an account. Father, thank you for your word this morning. Help us now, we pray, to understand and get all out of this passage that you'd have for us. In Jesus' name, amen. Of all the incidents connected with the life of Elisha and his ministry and all of his miracles, the cleansing of Naaman is probably the best known. Elijah is mentioned 29 times in the New Testament. Elisha is mentioned once, and this is the time. Jesus said in Luke 20, chapter 4, verse 27, And many lepers were in Israel in the time of Elisha, the prophet, and none of them was cleansed, saving Naaman the Syrian. So he mentions this, but he's only mentioned one time, and it's this incident. These verses we read of Elisha's discovery that this man Naaman was a leper. Then comes a ray of hope, and then a miraculous healing. And it really appeals to us in our salvation experience. That is, instead of Naaman, we could put our own name there. And instead of leprosy, we could call what leprosy is a type of, and that's sin. And instead of the place of the River Jordan, we look at the place called Mount Calvary. And instead of washing in the river, we're washed in the blood of our Lord Jesus Christ. And so it really, the story divides in 5 simple sections. And I've outlined it there for you. And we're going to be using the letters G and M in case you're taking notes. So first of all, Naaman was a great man. He was a great man. You know, some people live and die without any really recognition publicly. A lot of good people live and die, but you never really hear about them. Very few do you really hear about obtaining greatness. This would be a man that was had obtained greatness in the army of Syria. He was, as a matter of fact, he was the number two man under the king. The king thought so much of him that he was willing to do whatever it took to get this man healed. He was a great man. He was, wherever he went, he was acclaimed. He was a commander. He was highly regarded. And by him, the Lord, did you get that in verse 1? By him, the Lord had given deliverance. See, God's the one, the sovereign, right here. Even, remember who he gave deliverance from? And who Ben-Hadad, the king, had fought against King Ahab. And legend has it that Naaman was the man who killed Ahab himself. And if that's a fact, we don't know for sure, but if that is a fact, then that would definitely launch him into greatness. You killed the number one man. I mean, it's like the guy that killed Osama bin Laden, that team. And, you know, he's written a book about it. And it just launches you from being really a no-name, nobody knows about you, to now somebody that's great. Maybe he got a promotion with that. We don't know. He was a great man, courageous, popular, dependable, but he was a leper. And that's the second thing. He had a grievous malady. He was a leper. Underneath that splendid uniform. Don't you know he had a beautiful uniform? Don't you know he had many medals on that uniform? But underneath that uniform was that loathsome, hatred, terrible disease of leprosy. Leprosy is a disease that still an active disease, although the leprosy that's active nowadays isn't like the biblical leprosy, so I've read. But the biblical leprosy would literally eat your skin away. It would eat your skin. Oftentimes lepers had just nubs for fingers and because it ruined the nerve endings, and they would literally rub their hands to nothing and things, legs and things like that. And now in Israel, if you were a leper, you were an outcast. You had to announce yourself if you even came into a public place. Leper, be unclean, they had to say as they came through. And there was a whole process of how a leper would be cleansed, go through the priest and all of that, even leprosy in the house. But in other countries, they didn't treat it like this. Here's a guy that had leprosy, same disease, but yet he was able to function, and he had it in his uniform, under his uniform. So he was a great man, but the Bible says he was a leper. And you know, you and I both, we all know people who are good people. They're great people, but they're underneath all that greatness is a heart full of sin. And that may be you this morning. I mean, you may look good on the outside. You may have a good appearance, you've got good threads on, you fool everybody, but you're not fooling God because you've never got rid of your sin that's all over the inside of you. It's eating, it's in your heart, and it eats you from the inside out. It's sin, and that's leprosy is a type of that. You see, only God sees that. You remember in 1 Samuel chapter 16, let me just read a verse here, that when Samuel went to anoint the sons of to anoint the next king. He went to anoint David. And he came to the sons of Jesse. And the first one came by there. And the Lord and Samuel said, "Surely this is the one." And the Lord said, "No, that's not him." And the Lord gave him a verse. 1 Samuel 16:7. He says, "The Lord said unto Samuel, look not on his countenance or on the height of his stature, because I have refused him." Remember Saul, the first king, he was a big old boy, right? I mean, he was a head and shoulders above everybody else. So the Lord's saying, don't look at that. "For the Lord seeth not as man seeth. For the Lord looketh on the outward..." "For man looketh on the outward appearance, but the Lord looketh on the heart." Amen. I remember as a lost church member how God used that verse to speak to my heart. I was fooling everybody. I wasn't really fooling my wife, but I was fooling a lot of people that I was a saved person, that I was lost on the inside. God was convicting me of my sin. And that verse he used to convict. God looks on the heart this morning. God still looks on the heart. And you know, you could look at Naaman as he came by. You'd give him a salute. You'd honor that man, but he was a leper. Underneath that uniform was a leper. And underneath many, many people's hearts, that heart is sinful. They've never been to Calvary. They've never been and washed in the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. And they may be a decent man. They may be a good man. They may be a kind person. But being kind, being good, being a faithful husband or a faithful wife has never gotten anybody into heaven. being a member of the Bible Fellowship Baptist Church, as wonderful as this fellowship is, hey, that doesn't get you into heaven. Have you been washed in the blood of Jesus Christ? That's the only thing. You see, a person like that, they don't have a chance when God comes. They don't have a chance to go when the Lord comes in the rapture because they're lost. Naaman had a gentle maid in his household, number three. Here's where the dark story gets light. I mean, it's really good. Verse 2. And the Syrians had gone out by companies and brought away a captive out of the land of Israel, a little maid, and she waited on Naaman's wife. And she said unto her mistress, "Would God, my Lord, were with the prophet that is in Samaria, for he would recover him of his leprosy." You see, this little girl, young girl, I'm assuming probably a teenage girl, had been taken captive during war. You know, think about that for a minute. That little lady, perhaps she saw her parents slaughtered. And they thought, we're going to take her and we're going to she will be profitable. And she'd been taken maybe to the slave market. And she was there on the block. And Naaman said, "Hey, I think I'll have her for my wife. That would be a good gift for my wife. She looks strong. She looks like she could do a good job caring for my wife and helping her around the house and being a servant in the house." And that's exactly what she was. But you know, what I see about this girl is she knew God. She had a relationship with the Lord God Jehovah. And being taken from her home and stripped away from everything she was. No mention of her parents. Maybe they're dead. We don't even know. Her family being taken away from all that. Here she is in a foreign land. She's faithful to witness for the Lord. She's faithful to be a witness for the Lord. I wonder how many young people today, if you were taken from your home, do you know enough of God's Word right now? Do you know enough? I'm going to tell you right now. Do you witness at home right now? We're not talking about being taken from home and stripped away. What about right now? Are you witnessing to your friends? You know, we've all got friends that are lost. Are we a faithful witness to them? You see, this little girl was a bright spot in a very dark place. And I want to tell you something. Our world is dark and it's getting darker. And the brighter the light will shine in the dark days. But we've got to shine. We've got to be a witness. We've got to speak. She couldn't just be a silent witness. You say, "I'm just a silent witness. You know, I just don't speak. I really don't know how to talk for the Lord, but I'm a silent witness." Well, they may think you're a Mormon. They may think you're a good, just a religious person. You're not a witness if you don't speak. You get called into the court of law as a witness, and you sit there looking pretty, and you got on a nice suit or whatever, and you don't say a word. You're not a witness. You're witness when you speak. And this little lady, she said, "Would God that my servant's wife were in Samaria. There's a prophet there." She knew about Elisha. She knew about the miracles. She knew he had been trained by Elijah. And here, would to God he was there. He would heal her heal him of his sin, of his leprosy. He could do it. I know it. If you just get him there. What a witness. Man, what a witness. She brought a ray of hope in a dark place. Hey, do you remember the first time you heard the gospel? I mean, not heard it, but just, I mean, I grew up hearing the gospel, but just the first time you heard it and really heard it, it was a ray of hope in a dark heart. You remember how it just changed everything? I mean, it just, thank God for that witness. Thank God for that person that was willing to witness. I think about the people who loved me to Jesus Christ. My wife and a couple others who just loved me to Jesus. They were patient with me. I was such an idiot. I was such a stubborn person. And they loved me to Jesus Christ. Thank God for that. Man, I remember when that light turned on. Praise the Lord. This is what happened. And the wonderful thing about this story is that Naaman was not too proud to listen to her. Praise the Lord. He's desperate. He's a leper. Lepers die of leprosy. They don't get better. It was incurable. There's no doctor that could do anything. You had to have a touch from God to be healed of your leprosy. And we're told that the king of Syria, verse 5, we're told, look at it in verse 4, he says, "And one went and told his lord, saying, thus and thus said the maid that is of the land of Israel." And the king of Syria, now here's the king heard this, because this is the king's right-hand man. He's his number one guy when he goes out to battle. he needs Naaman. He needs him. And he says, the king of Syria, go to now, send a letter. And he departed and took with him 10 talents of silver, 6,000 pieces of gold, and 10 changes of raiment. The king says, listen, I'm going to write a letter. I'm going to arrange for Naaman to go and get the cure that he needs. You know, people would just come to the great physician.
Amen.
People, you don't have to know everything there is to know about the gospel.
That's right.
But you got to know you're lost and you can't save yourself and you're on your way to hell. And Jesus can save you. Jesus saves. He still does. And you know this, he didn't know all of what was there. He didn't know anything. He knew he was going back into enemy territory. He was willing to take the risk to go back into enemy territory to get the cure. So, thank God for that gentle maid. Thank God for the person that witnesses to you. Hey, you know, we can witness to me and you. Don't you know, we can be a witness to somebody. You know, this world is crying for hope. I mean, they're asking for real life hope and change, and we've got the answer.
Amen.
Let's be a witness in these last days. Then Naaman made three grave mistakes. He was willing to hear, he was willing to go, but he made three grave mistakes. He was foolish in not following her advice. What was his mistakes? Well, number one, first, he thought he could buy the cure. Verse 5, he took all of that silver. We read later on in the chapter that one talent of gold required two bags to be carried. And in addition, 6,000 shekels of gold and 10 sets of clothing. That equals 700 pounds of silver, 750 pounds of silver, and 150 pounds of gold. Now, I don't know what gold was worth then. It's worth something then, but it's worth a lot more now. So, you know, maybe millions of dollars worth of stuff and 10 changes of clothing. I don't know what that's all about, but it was just part of 10 new, you know, I'm sure it was nice threads, right? This was some very nice clothes. So it was very, he thought he could buy the cure. But you know, all the money in the world can't buy the cure for sin. The Bible says in 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 18, for as much as you know, you're not redeemed with corruptible things as silver and gold. I wonder if Peter's thinking about that story when he said that. From your vain conversation received by tradition with your fathers, but with the precious blood of Christ, as of a lamb without blemish and without spot. What can wash away my sins? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. What can make me whole again? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. Listen, he thought he could buy it. Many people think they can earn their salvation. But God's Word is clear. Salvation is a gift. Titus 3:5 says, not by works of righteousness which we have done, but by the washing of regeneration and renewing of the Holy Ghost are we saved. It says in Romans chapter 6, verse 23, the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. It's a gift. It's a gift. You don't work for a gift. If I had a gift in my pocket, what do I got in my pocket? What do I want to give away? What do I want to give away here? Card, okay? I'll say, Weston, this card represents, I just want to give you $10, okay? I want to give you $10. Here you go. No, wait, I've got two dirty cars out there. I want you to go wash them, and then I'll give you $10. That gift just became what? A work. He earned that. If he goes out and washes my car, and I pay him $10, then he's earned that $10. But if I give it to you and say, go ahead, it becomes his when he takes it. The gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. It can't be bought. It can't be paid for any other way. It's a gift. So Naaman made the grave mistake. First of all, he thought he could buy the cure. Secondly, he went to the wrong place to be cured. He went to the king's house. And the king, Jehoram at that time, he's like, why are you coming to me? What, do you think I'm God that I can just go out and make a man live or die? He said, no, no, no. You're picking a fight with me. That's what you're doing. Remember, Syria had just conquered Israel. So now, here he comes back with all these whatever it took, all the entourage of people. I'm sure Naaman didn't travel by himself. All these people, all this gold and silver and threads, all of that. And he's sitting outside the king. He said, he rent his clothes. It was a sign of remorse. It was a sign of, I'm in trouble. You're picking a fight with me. And the Elisha, who knew what was going on, heard that the king had rent his clothes. So he went to the wrong place to be cured. A lot of people today are going to the wrong place. They're going to the wrong place. Many are knocking on the wrong door for salvation. I mean, they're knocking on the priest's door to make a confession. They're knocking on that priest's door and they're confessing all their sins and they're leaving there as dirty as they came. Oh, confession's good for the soul. You may feel a little bit better, but that priest, that pope can't do anything for your sins. No man. I can't. You can confess your sins to me if you want, but I can't do anything for your sins. I'd rather you not, really. Yeah. Say, preacher, I had some sin in my life and I got right with God. I'm going to say hallelujah. And then I'm going to think, now, I wonder what it was. You know, we're like that. We like to hear, come on, give me the dirt. I don't want to hear the dirt. I can't forgive you. If you've sinned against me, I can forgive you. But I can't take your sins away. He was knocking at the wrong door. A lot of people are knocking at the door of spiritism or a false cult or knocking at the door of church membership or respectability. They're knocking at the door of baptism or good works. I mean, they say, listen, I know I'm going to heaven because I've been baptized. I know I'm going to heaven because I'm a good person. I'll ask people and I'll say, listen, if you died today, do you know you'd go to heaven? They say, yeah, I think I would. And I'll say, that's wonderful. What do you base that on? Well, I've been married 35 years. Never cheated on my wife. I'm a good person. Provided well for my family. Sent them all to college. They're all doing well. Those are all good things, sir. But you die in that condition, you go straight to hell. I mean, if you're trusting in anything except for Jesus Christ, you're knocking at the wrong door. John chapter 10 and verse 9, listen to it. It says, Jesus says, I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved and shall go in and out and find pasture. He says, I am the door, not a door. Jesus is not a door of many ways to heaven. There's not many ways to heaven. Religion says there's many ways to heaven. And people say, as Christians, if you believe Jesus is the only way to heaven, you're very narrow-minded. I'm as narrow-minded as the Bible. The Bible's very narrow-minded. The Bible says there's one way to heaven. Jesus says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. Now, you come to Jesus in various ways, but you only come to God through Jesus. You know, it was this that may have brought you to the Lord. It was this that may have brought Naaman to the Lord. It was this that may have brought, you know, sickness may bring you to the Lord. But only one way to God, and that's through Jesus Christ. Only one way. So he thought he could buy his way. He thought he went to the wrong place. Thirdly, he wanted to be cured in his own way, not in God's way. Naaman, he found out he was at the wrong place, so he went down to Naaman's house. Naaman went down to Elisha's house, verse 10, and Elisha sent a messenger to him, saying, go and wash in Jordan 7 times, and thy flesh shall come again unto thee, and thou shalt be clean. He didn't even come to the door. Elisha didn't even go to the door to greet this guy. You know, you've got to be humble. We're going to look at that in a minute, but that just really made him mad. I mean, it did. Naaman was wroth and went away and said, behold, I thought he would surely come out and stand and call on the name of the Lord his God, strike his hand over the place, recover the leper. Man, he was looking for, you know, Elisha to come out there and make a big scene like Benny Hinn or something. I don't know. He was looking for a big scene. He came out there. He didn't even come to the door. I could see the man of God there sitting there reading his Bible, got his recliner, sipping on a cup of coffee. And said, just go tell him to go dip in this Jordan 7 times. Listen, when you've heard from God, you got the word from God, you can be that confident. Faith takes a promise of God and steps out. You don't have to make some big scene. You don't have to do some big show. You know what that would have done? That would have made Elisha look good. Elisha wasn't interested in him looking good. He was interested in the Lord his God looking good. And the way he was going to do it was an amazing way. So, and you know, Naaman, he's wroth. You know, the Bible says in Proverbs chapter 14 and verse 12, there is a way which seemeth right unto a man, but the end thereof are the ways of death. You know, people are, they're trying to do it their way, and they're ended up in hell. I think a lot of Christians are living the Christian life their own way. Really, that's really been manifested in this last few months. People are just living their own way. It's like, you know, church attendance. I really thought people would just flood back to the church. I'm kind of getting surprised. I'll just catch it online. It's not the same. You know, I understand some of our older folks are hanging out and staying. I understand that. That's fine. Do you get peace in your heart? But some of you young whippersnappers who listen to me online this morning, you need to get over it and get right with God and get back in the church house. You know? Really? Come on. You say, well, I'm not that comfortable. Well, have you gone to Lowe's this week? Or have you gone to the supermarket this week? I guarantee you, I get close to people in Walmart. I don't even want to be close to people in Walmart. And I can't help it. You go to Walmart, you're going to get close to people. But COVID doesn't go there. It only comes to church. I'm just running a rabbit, but it needs to be run this morning. Some people are just living their lives their own way. Well, we'll just compromise. We'll just go over here to church. It's a little bit closer. That's not your home church. You need to be in your home church. I'm just saying, it's time. Listen, if we've never seen it's time to be right, it's time to get on fire for God and shine bright for the Lord, it's now. It's now. So he thought he could do it his own way. He gets mad. He gets wroth. And he says, he goes on. He look at verse 12. Are not Abana and Parphar, rivers of Damascus, better than all the waters of Israel? May I not wash in them and be clean? So he turned away and went away in a rage. The truth is, Parphar and Abana were, what I read, crystal clear rivers. They were very nice. And Jordan is a muddy river. I've been to the Jordan. It's a muddy river. I didn't get in the river, go in the river and be baptized. Some people go, you know, they get all juice, all feely, and they get to the Israel and they go in the river and get baptized again. That baptism is not even, you listen, you got baptized at your local church. No, come on. But anyway, it's a muddy river. I'm just going all over the place this morning, but anyway. It's a muddy river, the River Jordan. And he's true about that, but it wasn't God's way. He wanted to do it his way. Before sinners can receive God's grace, they must submit to God's will. 1 Peter 5:5, God resisteth the proud, but giveth grace to the humble. Donald Gray Barnhouse used to say, everyone has the privilege of going to heaven God's way, or you can go to hell your way.
That's right. Amen.
You see, you have freedom of will, freedom of choice, and you can choose to do it your way, but you cannot choose the results of your decision. The consequences of your decision, you say, I'm going to do it my way. I don't believe it. That's just too easy. I've got to do something. Well, you just do it your way, but you can't choose the consequences because the wages of sin is death.
Right.
And that's eternal death. Go God's way.
Amen.
He, praise God. You know what God's way is for us? God's way is very simple for us. It's repentance toward God and faith toward our Lord Jesus Christ. Acts 20:21. Repentance, that is turning from your way of doing things, your sin, yourself. You can't save yourself. You can't get an inch off the ground when the rapture happens by yourself. Your sin, your unbelief, that's your way. You have to turn from that way. Whatever you're trusting in to get you to heaven, you turn and you God's way. And when you turn, repentance toward God and faith in our Lord Jesus Christ. You see, once you turn, then you receive Jesus Christ. And if you've never done it God's way, you need to do it today, God's way. Well, number 5, Naaman was cured by a glorious miracle. Praise God for these guys, huh? These servants of His. Verse 14, came near. Don't you know they loved Him? But they had confidence in what they were getting ready to say. They said, my father. They called him their father. He was so close to them. He was like, he'd fought with them. He was like a general that leads this into battle. My father, if the prophet had bid thee do some great thing, wouldst thou not have done it? How much rather than when he said to thee, wash and be clean. Just do what he said. Just wash and be clean. Praise God for the witness. There had to be a great humbling. Notice what it says. Verse 14. Then went he down. That's not only did he go down into the river, he had to go down and get rid of his pride. He had to die to his pride. His pride had to go. And here he is in front of all his servants, his officers, his other officers, the soldiers. He had to go down. He had to go down. He had to die to pride. You know, whenever men and women are determined to get right with God, you see here, nothing's going to stop them. Praise God. But the pride's got to go. I remember how my pride held me back from being saved for weeks. Once I realized I was lost and on my way to hell, I hung there. Just kind of hung there for a while. I knew I needed to be saved, but I was teaching Sunday school. And I thought, what'll they think? What are all these teenagers that I teach? What are they going to think? I'm going to lose my teenage. I can't teach if I'm not saved. I'm going to be a new Christian. Then I have to go back and start all over again. All of his pride. I was, you know, all these people in the church, they thought, oh, they thought Brother Dennis, he was a Christian. Pride. I had to get over that. I finally had, you know what I finally thought? Here's what finally came into my mind. I don't care what they think. I am not going to go to hell because of what they think. Amen. And on a Sunday night, I trusted Jesus Christ, my Lord and Savior. You know what they thought? They rejoiced with me. You know what those teenagers did? They had a birthday party for me the next day. They brought a cake and they said, it's Brother Dennis's spiritual birthday. And they had a cake. And you know what the pastor said? He said, you'll be a good Sunday school teacher now. You know what? The devil messes with your mind. You know, you're going to give up all this. You're going to lose all this. No, just humble yourself and trust God. That's what Naaman, he had to go down. There was a great humbling. That's number one, if you're filling out the blanks. There was a great humbling. There was number two, a perfect obedience. Notice he says, he went down and he dipped himself seven times. That was the seven ducks in a muddy river. Right? Seven times. Naaman dipped himself. Can't you see those guys on the sideline? You know, one, two, three. How many was that? Can you hear him calling? But that's what I'd do. How many? I'd lose track. Five, six, perfect obedience, seven. And he came up, man, whoo, perfect obedience. You know, when you take God at His Word and you fully surrender, the Lord will save you. The Bible says that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath saved, that God hath raised Him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto salvation, with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. You don't just add Jesus to your lifestyle. You turn, you repent of your sin and your way, and you trust Jesus Christ as your Savior, and you surrender all. Does that mean you get rid of every sin that's in your life? Obviously, that takes time growing. We know that. But that means at that particular point, you're willing to get rid of everything. You know, I've led people to the Lord before that were living together, and I'll say, you know, now here's something. You've been saved. As you grow in the Lord, you know this isn't right. You need to get that right with God. And have, if they say to me, I don't know about that now, I'll say, wait a minute, you only dipped six times. You didn't go all the way down. Huh? Didn't you just say, Jesus, I want you to be my Lord? If thou shalt confess the Lord Jesus, that means Jesus as your Lord. You know? Well, and then I've had people say, listen, I said, now listen, you know this situation you're in is sinful. And you know you need to get it right. Yeah, preacher, how can I do that? You dipped seven times. You see, the heart attitude's different. Heart attitude different. And perfect obedience is what the Lord blesses. Perfect obedience. You call on the name of the Lord. You give Him your life. You come to Him with an attitude of surrender. Wow. And then there was a complete cure. Notice what it says, the latter part of the verse. Seven times, according to the say of the man of God, and his flesh came again unto the flesh of a little child, and he was clean. You know, I don't know how old Naaman was when he went down in there, but he was no doubt a battle-hardened general. And I mean old gruffy old guy, you know, no telling what his skin looked like. Maybe he had some cuts on it and maybe battle scars. Don't you know when they got together, they'd talk, said, I got this one back in the battle of the, you know, I got this one. You know how people do. But anyway, when he came up out of that water, he had baby skin. His skin was white, like a little child, the Bible says. I mean, don't you know he looked like, You know what the Bible says in 2 Corinthians 5:17? Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. All things are become new. I remember about a week after I got saved, I remember it just something. It's like the birds were singing bright, louder. The sun was shining brighter. It's like I had this whole new outcome on life. It's like, and I thought, this verse tells us all things become new. Your skin is like that of a little child that you're born again. When you're born again, you're like a baby. That's the picture right here. Wow. One more beautiful thing about this story. We don't want to go on till we look at that. I didn't read it in our text, but look at verse 15. It's a beautiful thing. He returned to the man of God, he and all his company, and came and stood before him, and he said, "Behold, now I know that there is no God in all the earth but in Israel. Now therefore, I pray thee, take a blessing of thy servant." You can read the rest of the story. We may cover it next Sunday night or whatever, but this Gehazi, you know, he's been kind of a shady character all along. Well, it comes full fruit. Man, he goes after the gift. Anyway, here's the point I want you to make. Naaman was absolutely convinced now that there was no God in heaven but the God of Israel. You see, I believe Naaman not only got cleansed on the outside, he got cleansed on the inside. He became a believer at this point in the God of Jehovah and the Lord God Jehovah, and he wanted to make him known. Not only did he announce that he's the only one, he wanted to make it known. And he was willing to give a gift. Aren't you thankful to the person that told you about Jesus? Aren't you thankful? You can't do enough for that person that told you about the Lord Jesus and told you how you could be saved. You owe a debt of gratitude to that person. Thank God for their faithfulness to be a light in a dark spot in your life. Praise the Lord for that. He was willing, man. He changed. And he trusted the Lord. Isaiah 1:18. "Come now, let us reason together, saith the Lord. Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be white as snow. Though they be red like crimson, they shall be as wool." Have you come to God His way? I'm not asking this morning, have you been baptized? I'm not asking this morning, did you repeat a prayer in Bible school? I'm asking this morning, have you been saved God's way? If you died right now, are you 100% sure you'd go to heaven? There's only one way. It's God's way. If you're here this morning in this building and you've not been, we want to invite you to come. We'll show in the Bible how you can know. You heard enough right now. You could sit right where you're at and just call on the name of the Lord. But we'd love to help you any way we can with that. And then, Christian, are you living God's way? You know, I think that's there. Are we living for God His way? And then here's a question we need to ask ourselves. When's the last time you shared this message of hope with someone in this dark world? The world is waiting to hear. They're hungering and thirsting after things that will never satisfy. We've got the answer. Thank you, Lord, for the Word of God this morning, this wonderful account of the life of Naaman and Elisha. And thank you that there is a fountain filled with blood drawn from Emmanuel's veins, where sinners plunge beneath that flood, lose all their guilty stains. Thank you this morning that anyone that will come to you your way can be saved this morning. Thank you for the blood of Jesus that flows from Calvary, God. And we know today that whoever's listening here in this room or on the internet, whatever, Lord, that they would call upon you, surrender their lives to you, they will be saved. Your word says, "Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved." Have your will and way in every life this morning, in Jesus' name. Let's stand. Brother Rick's going to sing. If you need to come this morning and pray, feel free to come here in this altar. If you need someone to talk to, you need to be saved this morning, come and we'll take the Bible and we'll show you how you can know for sure you're on your way to heaven.